Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And Robert, thank you for that wonderful song. It's another great song to remind us that in the difficulties that we face, the Lord is faithful. His word is faithful. And all the music today has just been a blessing and an encouragement to us. And we are grateful and thankful for that. And I want you to know that, church family, we are kind of experiencing the glow. Do you see the glow around here? Yesterday, there were 300 women in a fantastic luncheon put on by our women's ministry, and Trudy Kathy White did a great job. The worship was great for the ladies, and so there's just a glow about this place today. And thank you to all that made that a special, special luncheon for our ladies. Lots of neat things coming up in the life of our church that you need to be thinking about and praying about how to be a part of it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Verse 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The title of today's Bible study is Remember Christ's Attitude Along the Way. Notice in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered, suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. So we need to have the mind of Christ. And by the way, our children are headed to children's church right now. And they're kind of going sporadically because pastor didn't announce it. I just want you to know that. But they're going to get there. Thank you, children, and thank you, leaders. The scripture says we're to have the same mind of the Lord Jesus in his suffering. What kind of an attitude? The same mind. Peter talks a lot about the mind here. I want you to take, just in your scripture, just flip back a couple of pages to chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He's talking a lot about time. Verse 11 of chapter 1, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He talks a lot about time. It's interesting. Peter knew that his time was limited. You remember when Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And then later he said, you're going to die. So Peter knew that he was going to be martyred for the faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, he indicates this as well when he writes this: "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know they are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Time was important to Peter. He knew the coming of the Lord was at hand. He knew that his time was short. And so we see a lot in this book of the Bible about how we ought to prioritize our life and how we ought to do that in the midst of suffering. And the scripture says we're to have the attitude of Christ. Remember the attitude of Christ along the way. Remember Christ's attitude along the way. So three things I want you to take note of. Number one, notice sin and yes to God's will. Christ gave us the example to reject all sin and to say yes to God's will. Now, it's very easy for us to get lulled into sin. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on 1 Peter, tells an interesting story about going out to eat, and you've done this before. It's bright outside, but you go into a real dark restaurant. You ever do that? You go into a restaurant and the light's real low, and you wonder, how in the world am I ever going to even see to get to the table? And Dr. Wiersbe, in his story, he said you need a miner's hat to get in with a big old light on it to know where your table is. So he told the story. He said, "I went in with a guy one time, and we finally found a table and sat down. We began to talk for a little while. Then they brought us the menus. And then he made the comment to his friend. He said, 'You know, I'm amazed. I thought it was so dark in here. I'm amazed I can read the menu.' And his friend said this: 'It doesn't take us long to get accustomed to the darkness. Your eyes adjust in that restaurant.' Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Sin has its way of doing that in our lives. All of a sudden, it's like the story of the frog in the kettle. You know, you take a frog and you throw him in boiling water, but he hops out immediately. He's out of there quick. That water's hot. But you put him in lukewarm water and you just turn up the heat slow, and he'll boil. Because the gradual change lulls him into comfort, and then all of a sudden it's too late. The attitude of Jesus was to say no to sin. Jesus came to conquer the consequences of sin. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says he suffered for sin. Everything about Christ's life was to reject sin. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The person who says no to sin, the person who is suffering for Christ because of his testimony, as a lifestyle, has pretty much rejected the lifestyle of sin, because that's why he's being persecuted. That's what that verse is telling us. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. The phrase "arm yourself" is the picture of a Greek soldier putting on his armor. In other words, you put on the same mind that Jesus Christ had and be ready to suffer and be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. That Greek soldier putting on the armor. It's a big deal that we are ready and we have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you suffer for good, you've said no to sin, because you will be persecuted for the faith. If you stand for the Lord Jesus and you're persecuted, what Peter is saying to us is that as a general lifestyle, you have said no to sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time. In other words, those that are involved in sin are just going with the flow. They're letting life adjust them. But those that are being persecuted for their stand for the Lord, just like Jesus was persecuted, They have rejected the old way. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't in any way mean that they never sin. We know the scripture teaches we should never teach that you ever get to a point of perfection. There's always areas in our lives that we're working on because we fall short. But at the same time, as a lifestyle, the person who is being persecuted for righteousness' sake, the scripture's telling us, he's basically said, look, I'm not going that way anymore. It's like the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away and new things have come. My pastor growing up used to say this, any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a fish with a backbone to swim against the current. As a young person, I listened to that and I said, Lord God, let me have a backbone. Because you see, any dead fish goes with the way of the world. But it's time to focus on rejecting sin. If we want to have the attitude of the Lord, it's time to reject sin. But it's also time to focus upon the will of God. In verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. The will of God. And let me just say something that we all know and have heard. The will of God is the greatest life you could ever live. The most exciting life you could ever live is the will of God. I would say to these college students, and by the way, I have the joy of preaching Tuesday night at Gator, and I'll be there Tuesday night. But one of the things I remember when I was in college and when I gave my life to Christ is I remember being challenged to say, you know, if you sell out to Christ, if you say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart, whatever you want me to do, whatever the questions are, the answer is yes. I was always challenged, that's the greatest life you could ever live. And I hadn't lived my whole life. I'm not an old man. But I have lived a few years now, and I can tell you this, every time I've ever done what I felt, thought, and knew Jesus Christ wanted me to do, it has brought nothing but joy. It has brought nothing but blessing. Every time Kelly and I have linked our lives to the Word of God and said, Lord, we know the world's going this way, but we're going this way. We have always been blessed in it. The greatest life you could ever live is to live your life within the will of God. So the attitude of Christ is to say no to sin and yes to the will of God. Now he says in verse 3, for we have spent enough time of our past lifetime. That's an interesting phrase, the phrase past lifetime. The word indicates that this is a closed course. In other words, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are saved. You're saying, I'm done with this old course. This is my past lifetime. You know, the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is when we say yes to Christ, but then we want to dip back into the past lifetime. Oh, no. Peter is saying to us, we're done with that. It is a closed course. In verse 3, we have spent enough of this past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We've gone that way before. I used to tell teenagers all the time, you got two opportunities to know how to live. Either, number one, you can experience everything yourself. You can live by experience. And we probably could traipse 35 or 40 people up here that would get behind a microphone and say, yeah, I tried that, young people, and it didn't work out so well. Yeah, I tried saying I've got to experience it all myself, and it didn't turn out that way. We have that choice. We can live by experience, or we can trust somebody with the words they tell us. And who are you going to trust but those that love Jesus? And who are you going to trust more than the Lord Jesus, who says, look, you don't have to experience everything and to know how to live. Go by the owner's manual. You put a model together. You can either try to do it all by yourself and end up with something that looks like the picture, but you got all these parts on the side. That was always what happened to me. And I had that clear glue. What was the brand of that glue? Anybody know? Testers. That little Testers glue, that stuff was like super glue, man. I had it all over me. But I'd put that thing together because I thought I knew how to do it. Hey, listen, I'm a fanatic about the owner's manual now, man. I get something and I got to read every word because I have messed so many things up not going by the owner's manual. I buy a toaster, I pull it out. Nobody touch it. I got to read the owner's manual. Can I tell you this, folks? Jesus has not left us on this earth without a way to know how to live. Here it is right here. By the way, you quit coming to this church and don't ever go to a church that doesn't make this the priority of the church. Because if we don't talk about this word right here and how to live, we might as well close the doors. There's no reason to it to be here. Because this is the owner's manual of how to live. And it's the owner's manual of how to make an impact in our community and even the world. So what do? We reject. He says, you've lived that way enough. And then he goes through all these examples of the past life. Now, I don't believe that we should dwell on our past and all the sins we've done. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I'd like to share my testimony. And then they go into all kinds of detail about their past life. And we're grateful that God has delivered. Some people say, I couldn't share my testimony because I don't have a past life of gross and bad immoral sin or anything like that. The bottom line is there are times when we need to ourselves remember what Jesus has delivered us from. And he says this, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Do you remember what life was like before Jesus? Here's what he says. We walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Those revelings mean the village merrymaking, such a party of revelers parading the streets. Talks about drinking parties or banquetings, as the old King James Bible says, drinking bouts possibly held in connection with pagan religious rites. It always amazes me how the world salves itself for the weekends, living for Friday night, living for Saturday night. Why? Because on those nights, we've just gotten paid and we can drown ourselves in the reality of where we are. I was raised up with a group of Christian people that told me that if you gave your life to Jesus, that every day could be a little corner of heaven on earth. That your home could be a little picture of heaven on earth. But every once in a while, I have to go back and remember what I was really like before Jesus came in. If you want to have the attitude of Christ, you've got to say no to sin. And you've got to say yes to the will of God. You make a final decision, an act of the will, to say yes to Christ, no matter what the cost. Hernando Cortes was a Spanish conquistador, a conqueror. He wanted to discover Mexico, and so he told his plan to the King of Spain, and the King of Spain was so excited, he gave him 11 ships and 700 men. Cortes sailed for Mexico, and he landed in Veracruz, 1519, and the problem is he didn't tell the king all of his plan, because he landed, he got all the people off onto the land, and then he burned the ships. No turning back. He made a statement to those people, we've come to this land and we're not leaving. I think that's a great illustration of what happens when a person turns their life over to Christ. You say, you know, there's no, we've been there in this past life. We've been there. We've given it enough time. No, we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. So we reject sin. The attitude of Christ is to reject sin and to say yes to the will of God. Number two, we understand the non-believing world in verses 4-6. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them. They think it strange that you don't run in company with them. Sometimes our world is just headed like they're on a bandwagon against the ways of God. And so they don't understand when you take your stand. They don't understand when you are committed in relationships to your spouse. They don't understand. See, they've gone from, you know, the scripture teaches that when you're single and God gives you an attraction to the opposite sex in kind of a dating or a courting relationship, the purpose of that is to unite spiritually. There's a spiritual purpose in that relationship and that friendship. But the world twists it. You know, the word perversion is the word to twist. It's to get it opposite. The world out there says the purpose of dating is to unite physically. The world out there says the purpose of dating, unite physically. The purpose of engagement is to unite about the future. The purpose of marriage is to get serious spiritually. That's what the world says. God says the purpose of dating, unite spiritually. The purpose of engagement, to unite about the future. Then the purpose of marriage, to unite physically. The world twists that. And the world doesn't understand when you take your stand in that area of your life. And so the world twists relationships. They turn it upside down. And they think the idea is that we should, that folks should live together. It's rampant in our world. It's rampant, unfortunately, even among those who name the name Christ in the church, sometimes living together thinking this is God's plan. And it's progressed to homosexual marriage. And they don't understand that. Now, here's what we've got to do. We've got to have the attitude of Christ. We've got to understand our non-believing world. Do you know, congregation, that the world, that the Bible teaches that the world is blind to the truth? You know that, don't you? Write this verse down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3-4, it says this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do not necessarily lash out at a lost world. The lost world is blind. That's why they need to see Christ in us. They're blind. They don't know the truth like you know the truth. I'll never forget reading a great gospel tract about how to pray for the lost. I think Mr. Brannon might have been the first one that ever gave me that. But it talked about that verse and that how in prayer we can ask God to remove the blinders from those that we're sharing with, that they might see the truth and give their lives to Christ. Listen, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, here was Jesus' attitude towards the lost. It says this, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Sometimes when the world spews its sinful habits all over the entertainment world and all over, it should not be something that we lash out. It should be something that our hearts are broken because of the lostness of our world. Now let me just say this. At the same time our hearts are broken, when we have the opportunity to make a difference as believers in our culture, we ought to do it. We need to take our stand. And as we think about things politically and our responsibility as believers, as citizens of this country, we take that very seriously, that we exercise our right to put people in places of leadership who fear God and want to do things according to God's ways, because the truth of the matter is, this is truth whether you're a believer or not. And it impacts our culture. And so rather than lash out, we take our stand, but we have a broken heart. We understand lostness. People that do not know Christ, it should not surprise us that they don't cozy up to the ways of God. We should live our lives in such a way that they would be attracted to the gospel. So, number three, love the saints. And I'll close with this. In verse 7, says, but the end of all things is at hand. It's talking about time again. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. The badge of the believer is the love that a believer has for its fellow believer. In John chapter 13, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then in verse number 8 it says, and above all things, have that fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Your Bible may say this, but if it doesn't, you pencil in there Proverbs 10:12. That's a quote of the book of Proverbs. Love covers a multitude of sin. Try to cover the sin of a brother. You're not acting like Jesus wants you to act when a brother stumbles and you're the announcer of it. No, you're acting like the Lord Jesus Christ when you hear about it and you smother it with love. Because love covers a multitude of sin. And then in verse 9, we are to show hospitality. Take your Bibles and I want you to look back one book, okay? Two books, actually. Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I love this verse, and I want you to see it. Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2. Talking about hospitality. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I love that. And part of loving the saints is we are hospitable to the saints, and we love to fellowship with God's people and to love God's people. And you never know it. One day you may entertain an angel. Wouldn't that be something to know about that? We show it by using our gifts to bless others. In verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hey, church family, God's gifted you. God's gifted you. You have something to offer the people of God. You say, I don't know why I've been through some of the experiences I've been. I do, because there's somebody in this church that needs to know how to get through what you've gotten through. And you can help them. You say, well, I don't know. I hadn't always done the right thing. Well, you know what? You've learned from it. Be a blessing. Whatever gifts God has given you, use those gifts in the church. Use those gifts to be a blessing. There are speaking gifts. Some people are gifted to teach. Some people are gifted in that way. There are serving gifts. Some people are gifted in serving. But we do it all for the glory of God. And this is the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to make up our mind to live our lives for Jesus Christ. And so we love the saints. We say no to sin and yes to his will. And we love the saints. It's very important. We understand the world. The scripture says this, when we live this way, all these things shall be added unto you. The things the world thinks you ought to be all worried about, the Lord works them out. One of the first scripture verses I ever memorized is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, oh, preacher, that's just, you know, that's just a Bible verse that they teach people in vacation Bible school. Well, don't tell me that, because they taught me that it was true. And if it's okay with you, I'd just soon keep believing it. Because I can tell you, I've seen it come true. If you seek Jesus first, the Lord takes care of it. I heard one of the neatest stories that illustrates this, and I'm going to close with this. There was a man who was an art collector, and he had all this valuable art, and he had a son, and the son went off to war, and the son ended up with a buddy over there who drew a pencil drawing of his friend, the man's son. And so the son was killed, though, in battle, and so this picture made its way back to the very wealthy art collector. And even though he had all this prominent wealth and wonderful wealth, he really cherished the pencil of his son, because it was his only son. And so he put it in a prominent place in the house. Well, the man got older and older, and all the art collectors, boy, they really started realizing, hey, how old is that guy now? I mean, he's about to, where they're going to have an auction, because he doesn't have anybody else to leave all this to. We're going to have a chance at it. And so sure enough, the man died, and so they had an auction. The auctioneer got up and said, we're going to begin with the pencil of the sun. Somebody in the back said, wait a minute, we don't want the sun. Can you get to some of this valuable stuff? They said, well, we're going to start with the sun. He said, who'll bid on it? Nobody said a word. They didn't want the pencil of the sun. They wanted the valuable stuff. So finally somebody in the back said, okay, I'll give you $10 for that thing. Get it over with so we can get to the other stuff. And he said, I've got $10 going once, going twice. Sold to the man in the back. The auction is closed. Everybody was shocked. What do you mean the auction is closed? We're here to get all these valuable pieces. And the auctioneer said, it was in the instructions of the Father that he that gets the Son gets it all. This man in the back gets it all. Can I say this? I don't know what all, how all that is detailed out in each of our lives, but I know this. When you get Jesus, you get it all. When you get Jesus, you get everything you need in this world. Everything that is of any value in this life, when you turn your life over to Christ, I promise you, you get it. And when you start living by that owner's manual and you say, Lord Jesus, I don't care what this world does. I don't care which way they go. I don't care the bandwagon they're on. I am done with that past life. And I choose by an act of my will to burn my ships and go with Christ. I promise you one day it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And all the sorrow that we have gone through in this life, all the persecution, yea, can I say even death, would be worth it when we see Christ. Amen, church? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.